Contentment is when I yield my desires to God and I want what He wants. Coveting is when I want what I want. And the truth is, God wants your sex life under His control. For 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality. I did not create you to be sexually impure, God says, but the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And the fact is, friend, no matter whether you're male or female, no matter who you are today, you are not your own. It's not your body. You do not have the right to do to it what you desire. It belongs to God. It all belongs to Him, from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, and everything you've got covered, it belongs to God. That's why in the Old Testament, the covenant that God made with a man was a covenant that touched his sexual identity. It was called circumcision. And any man in any tribe from any place who wanted to make a covenant with Jehovah had to take a knife and cut off part of his manhood and give it to God, because God said, I want the very thing that identifies you, the most intimate detail of your life. It must be surrendered to Jehovah. And we no longer practice physical circumcision by commandment, but we do require today that our sexual nature is yielded to God. For you cannot be in covenant with Jesus Christ and refuse to yield your sexuality to Him. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Your body is not created for sex. It's created for Jesus. He shed His blood that He might redeem your life, so that you might be delivered from the power and the bondage of sin, so that all you have and all you are belongs to Jesus Christ. And to build a covenant home, you have to align with God's design. Marriage is a covenant between God and a man and a woman, wherein the sanctity of the sexual nature of marriage must be kept pure. That's why Hebrews 13:4 tells us marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. And that brings us to our second truth today. Turn your notes over to page 2 and see the second secret is this. You've got to unite to get it right. Take your pen and fill in the words unite and right. Just say that after me. Unite to get it right. See, the first thing is we've got to align with God's design. We've got to say, God, my body, my sexual identity belongs to you. But then secondly, you've got to unite to get it right. For the fact is, God not only designed sex for pleasure and procreation, He also designed it as a bonding agent to bring unity between husband and wife. That's the truth we find in Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united. Everybody say united. Amen. To his wife. And the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. In other words, sex is not an act. It's an adhesion. Sex is not an event. It's an equation. Two become one. Sex is not a physical activity. It's a spiritual mystery. And in that union between a husband and wife, there's a powerful bond to keep you in your marriage. It's God's plan to unite you as one, as only sexual union can do. Sex is not just body parts fitting together for a moment of pleasure. It's a deeply spiritual, mysterious, divine bonding that produces unity in the marriage. It is an act of worship. That's why God commands married couples to have sex. You heard me right. God commands it. I would say tell your neighbor He's talking about you, but I'm afraid this morning. Listen to 1 Corinthians 7. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to the husband. And all the men said, amen. Amen. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. And all the ladies said, amen. Amen. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Do you hear what God is saying? He's ordering married couples to have sex together. God forbids us to abstain from sex in marriage unless it's by mutual agreement for fasting and prayer. And then he says, when you've finished praying, go back and do it again. Not the praying, the sex. See, we get nervous when we talk about sex. Some of you may think it's dirty or unclean. Some of you are sitting here thinking, I can't believe I came to Agape House on the one Sunday in the year he talks about sex. But you know what? God is not nervous. He's not ashamed, and he's not embarrassed. In fact, when a man and a wife who are married have sexual union, God does not close his eyes. He doesn't say, oh, angels, look the other way. Kofi's doing it again. He's up there going, yeah, all right, woo, woo. Hallelujah. The presence of Jesus can come into your home in a powerful way when you have glorious, godly sex that is uniting you into one. But before all the men in the house get too excited, let's remember something else this verse tells us. God commands a married couple to be sexually active only with one another, but it's sex by design. It's sex that unites the two into one. And in this passage, the Lord says plainly that the focus in our sexual relations must be on giving, not taking. The focus is on loving, not lusting. And God makes it clear that in the marriage, you don't have a right over your own body. There has to be mutual submission, mutual care, mutual concern, and mutual satisfaction as you yield to one another. And all the ladies said, amen. Amen. In other words, you cannot have contented sex if you don't have commitment. You may have a physical act, there may be a physical sensation, but there will be no emotional connection. Your sex will fall short of what God desires for you if you don't have intimacy in not only physical, but in emotional and mental and spiritual ways. And when there is no commitment in the sex act, there is no contentment. But where you have commitment in a sexual relationship between husband and wife, where there's true giving and mutual focus and mutual attention, then it produces designer sex. And this is the problem in many homes today. Let's be frank. The man views sex as simply a way to please himself. And he fails to see the commitment required for contentment. Men are always looking for connection without commitment. They're looking for pleasure without partnership. But God's design for sex says we have to unite to get it right. We have to be one, not only in the flesh, but in our hearts and souls. And sometimes for the guys, that's not easy. In fact, there was one young man who wanted the benefits of marriage. He wanted to have someone to sleep with every night, but he didn't want all that love, honor, and cherish garbage. So before the wedding date, he went to the pastor and said, listen, Osofo, I'm going to give you $100 to take out all the restrictions in the vows. You can keep them for the wife, but for me, just say, oh, God bless you, you can be fruitful and multiply. The pastor said, okay. He took the $100. And then when they got on their wedding day to the altar, the pastor said, repeat after me. And Frederick thinks, yeah, now's my chance. I can really get away with it here. And the pastor said, Frederick, you must honor, love, and cherish. You must vow to surrender to your wife. You must do what she says and make her happy all the time. And Frederick started panicking. He said, my God. He pulled the pastor aside. He said, Pastor, I paid you $100 to take out all that commitment language. And the pastor said, I know, but your wife gave me $200 to put it in. You may want to leave commitment out of the equation, but you cannot succeed without commitment. You may want to have sex without any consequences, but you will never have a contented designer sexual satisfaction until you have the commitment to unite and get it right. See, the problem is society today says, well, whatever feels good, just do it. But if that is the foundation upon which married couples are building their marriage, then they significantly increase the risk of an unhappy home. Why? Because sex was never meant as a selfish act. That mentality reduces sex to one dimension, the physical only. But God's plan for sex is multidimensional. It's physical, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's mental. It's all combined together to unite us. And God designed sex not just for pleasure, not just for procreation, but He designed it that we would have unity so that there would be fruitfulness in all of our ways. That's why Genesis 1:28, God says, go and be fruitful and multiply. And that's not just having children. That's not just reproducing offspring. The fruitfulness God desires is that when you love each other with commitment and you're focused on giving to one another, it produces a fruitfulness in your soul, fruitfulness in your mind, fruitfulness in all parts of you. Gentlemen, if you will stop viewing sex as just something for you to take from your wife and view it as an opportunity to invest in her, you are going to have fruitfulness in her life, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, in every way. Your wife will be fruitful. Somebody say amen. For Psalm 128 says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. And friends, it takes time to grow a vine. Some seeds, you plant them and tomorrow, they spring up and flower. But a vine takes time. Slowly it begins to extend and grow. And the picture God is giving us is you've got to invest. You've got to tend your garden and make your wife fruitful with the nurture and care of your love. It's pretty quiet in here. Pull that mask off. Come on. How are you going to do that? Well, friend, I'll be frank. I'm not a sex therapist. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm not even a counselor. I'm just a pastor trying to help my people. So I've only got two simple advice, one for men, one for women, how to make your sexual union better. How to unite to get it right. Here's the one for men. Men, are you ready? Four words, write it down. Men, you've got to make love all day. Just say it with me. Come on, men. Say it. Only the men. Say it with me. Make love. Oh, you men. What's wrong with you? Come on, men. Come on, Michael. Give it to me now. Come on, Robert. Speak it out. You're over there. I want to hear it. Come on. Ready? Go. Make love. Some of you guys are going, yeah. But I got to go to work. No, I'm not talking about staying in bed all day. Meaningful sex begins long before the bedroom. You have to touch her heart and mind before you touch her body. Men and women are very different. See, they have different control panels. I'll show you the difference here, all right? You want to see it? Men's control panel, this is it. We're going to show on, off. Men's control panel, just go on, off. Most of the time it's on, right? That's men's control panel. All right, but women are different. Here's women's control panel. And the worst thing is, there's no instructions. It's like, whoa, baby, I got levers and knobs. Let's go see the men's. Let's look at men's. Men, on, off, on, off, on. Women's control panel. Hey! Men are like a match. You strike it and bursts into flame. Women are like a pot of water. It takes all day to boil. So you have to make love all day. The monument you are building in your bedroom, the monument you men are building of dirty clothes, you're building a statue of dirty clothes, pick it up and put it in the hamper. You say, I don't do chores. I don't do housework. You're not doing housework. You're making love. You send and receive 100 texts to your business partner. Do me a favor. Every hour on the hour, Monday through Friday, send a text to your wife. Hey, sweetie. How's it going? I'm thinking about you. I saw what you were wearing when you left house this morning. You look hot. Every hour on the hour, you're making love all day. Amen? Call her up at lunch, say, oh, baby, I'm thinking about you. Can't wait to get home tonight. If her love language is gift-giving, buy her something, anything on the way home. Buy her Kelly Welly. Do something. If her love language is quality time, when you get home, turn off the TV, turn off the phone, turn off the iPad, turn off the computer, and sit and talk to her for 30 good minutes. You're not talking to her. You're making love all day. For the fact is, if you want a better experience in the bedroom, give her your attention in the living room. Men focus on the act of sexual intercourse, but women focus on the relationship. So men, you've got to make love all day. Okay, women, here's your advice. Ready? Write it down. Here we go. Women, make love anyway. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Like this, make love anyway. I'm tired. Make love anyway. I have a headache. Make love anyway. I didn't have a good day at work. Make love. Come on. Come on. Help me out here. Make love anyway. My sister and I quarreled. Make love anyway. I'm worried about the kids. Make love. And he didn't pull all my buttons and adjust my levers. Make love anyway. He's always going out with his friends. Make love anyway. He's always watching TV. Give him a reason to turn it off and make love anyway. Simple. I'm done. Hallelujah. Okay, goodbye. Ladies, it's easy. On, off, on, off. Mostly on, all right? It's easy. Here's what I want you to do. Light a candle, put on some perfume, tell him, baby, I got something to show you in the bedroom. I got something to show you in the bedroom. Hallelujah. If you're a bachelor, I wish you could close your ears, but it's too late for that. Align with God's design, unite to get it right. Brings us to our third truth. Turn your notes over, and here it is. You've got to live in the place called grace. Fill in the blanks with the words place and grace. Because you know what? I know some of you are sitting here today, and even though it's funny, and even though you're interested, it's something painful to you. Maybe you were raped as a child and you've never gotten over the trauma of that event. Maybe every night your husband comes home with bad breath and body odor and forces himself on you, and there is no pleasure in the sex act because you're living with a beast who's a sex addict. Maybe you're a man here today and your sexual relations with your wife is non-existent and you are frustrated and you are angry and a wall has built up between you. The only time you touch each other is if it's a mistake when you roll over at night or when you hand her something in the morning. I know there are some here today as singles. You feel shame because you did something or you've done things in your life and you're in bondage to sin and you want to be free. I know there are some singles here today. The memories of your sexual immorality are plaguing you and holding you down. But for every one of us, whether married man or married woman, single man or single woman, we need to live in the place called grace. For I believe that God wants to heal us. I believe God wants to deliver us. I believe God wants to cancel the sexual bondage in your life. I believe God wants to remove the sexual misunderstandings from your heart. I believe God wants to heal the memory of those painful things. And this is a message of hope. I'm trying to help our married couples. I want to encourage you to have a vision for designer sex the way Jesus intends it, that will bring glory to Him and pleasure to you and unity in your marriage. I want to encourage the singles today. There's something special and awesome you've got looking forward, and wait for it. Don't sell yourself short. Don't lose your purity. Don't let the devil steal from you. I'm trying to help somebody here today who's tormented by their sexual past. But see, for no matter what you've done, no matter what state you're in, we all need God's grace. Whether married or single, we need God's grace. If you're in pain or shame, we need God's grace. For God wants to work in your life that you will walk out of here today shame-free. Remember Genesis 2:25, the Bible says, Adam and Eve were naked and they were not ashamed. And you may feel shame today. You may have come in here with shame, but you can leave with no shame. You can leave with your sexual identity intact, surrendered to Jesus Christ. You can walk out of here today with your head held high, knowing that the Spirit of the living God has set you free. It may take counseling, it may take time, but I believe today you can be forgiven, you can be set free, you can be restored, for there's hope and freedom in your sexual nature. God understands what you're going through. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who commit adultery or are male prostitutes and practice homosexuality, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says God's design forbids sexual immorality. But here's the hope. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And the same message Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he speaks to us today. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter the stain and the shame in your life, you were once like that, but today you are free. And what God said to the people in Corinth, he says to you today, you may have been a prostitute. You may have slept with another man's wife. You may have gone into all types of fornication or adultery or masturbation, but the fact is you can be free when you come to the place of grace and allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you and deliver you. One of the worst lies about sex from the devil is when he tells you you can't break free. You can't overcome it. Satan comes and says, everybody's doing it. You're going to fail. You're going to have an affair. You're going to fall. But God says differently. God says, I created it. I planned it. I know the hormones are in you and the desires are in you. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Everyone is tempted. You're not unique, but God is faithful. He can deliver you. He can wash over you and set you free. You won't be delivered from lust with passage of time. You won't be delivered from lust by getting married. You won't be delivered from lust by getting old. You'll be delivered from lust when you come to the place of grace. That's why James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And there's healing in God today. There's healing as we pray together. For Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Are you here today in a place of shame, frustration, or bondage? I speak liberty to you. I speak forgiveness to you. I speak grace to you today that the healing balm of Jesus will come. Are you in a place where your sexual life in your marriage is just ordinary? I speak grace to you today that God will take it from here and make it designer sex. Glorious unity that worships Christ and binds you together. That's true contentment in a covenant home. Dear friend, I want to encourage you to live in the place called grace. You know, when God's grace is in your life, you can overcome every temptation. When God's grace is filling your life, you can overcome every longing of the flesh. When God's grace is in your life, you can face every obstacle and come through with victory, because grace is the power to do what's right. Grace is God's enablement to live the way He's designed for us to live. I know that there are some who are watching and listening today that have experienced great pain and sorrow in the area of sexual reality. You've been abused. You've been mistreated. You may have been unfulfilled in so many areas of your life. But there is grace for you. Grace to heal your broken heart. Grace to lift you up out of the sorrows that you've seen. Grace to overcome the memories of the past. Grace to enable you to live according to God's plan, in God's way, for God's glory. Grace that will strengthen you and quicken you. So I want to pray with you right now for God's abundant, amazing grace to heal you and set you free. For each and everyone who's watching or listening, just place your hand on your chest and pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for amazing, abundant grace to be poured out upon each and everyone who's watching or listening today. Let your Spirit come and heal those hidden places of the heart where there's pain, sorrow, disappointment, rejection, betrayal, hurt, wounds. Lord, heal those places and give us divine grace today. The enablement, Lord, to live according to your plan. The enablement to overcome the desires of the flesh and align them with your design. Father, we trust you today. For without you, we can do nothing. But we know that through you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Father, bless your people today and minister the grace and the power of your love and Holy Spirit into their hearts, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. If you have a special prayer request, or you just like to write and tell me how God is ministering to you through these messages, please go on to my website today. Send me a message. Send me an email. Let me know what God is doing in your life and how I can continue to join together in prayer with you. Don't forget also that when you follow me on Facebook, you'll get daily inspiration that will help you in your Christian journey. Just go to Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb on Facebook. You'll find my official page there. Join with a couple of hundred thousands of other followers who receive daily inspiration from God's Word. You can message me on my Facebook official page as well and send me your prayer request or your testimony. I look forward to hearing from you personally. Next week, we're going to go forward and have the concluding part one of our message on the covenant home. We're going to be looking at a very important message that will make a huge difference as you build the home that God designed for you to have. Until then, may God richly bless you, and goodbye for now.
Episodes of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb can be downloaded or viewed online at www.revrcw.com. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is also on Facebook and on Twitter at RevRCW. Keep connected with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb to receive revelation and inspiration from God's Word.
Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.